We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to Inside Mizzou Athletics, presented by Shelter Insurance. Find an agent for your auto, home, and life at shelterinsurance.com.
Hey, everybody, how's it going? Welcome back to the Tiger Style Wrestling Podcast here on the Inside Mizzou Athletics Podcast Network. I'm your host, Matt Manley, and today your podcast is brought to you by Shelter Insurance. The Inside Mizzou Athletics Podcast is presented by Shelter Insurance. Shelter Insurance for your auto, home, and life. Visit your local agent or find us on the web at shelterinsurance.com. We are your shield. We are your shelter. Again, I'm your host, Matt Manley, and it's good to be back at studio with Bo Bayman. And, Bo, it's been too long.
It's good to see you. Last time we were here, it was right before taking off for Nationals.
Yeah, you know, and we were there for the week of Nationals, and then we got done with Nationals, and right, you know, as soon as we got back, we had a couple guys going to the last chance Olympic qualifier, and then the very next weekend, poor Coach Maple, man, he gone for Nationals, he went to the last chance qualifier, came back for one day, and then went back to Dallas, so he spent like 9 days in Dallas out of the last 10 days. So,
but there's been a lot to talk about, hasn't there?
It's been a busy 3 weeks, man. Some of the most exciting 3 weeks of wrestling, probably of, you know, the four-year Olympic cycle.
Yeah. All right, well, let's start with Nationals. Tigers, again, in the top 10. Not surprising. I would imagine behind the scenes, they probably wanted to finish a little higher than seventh. But nevertheless, you have Keegan O'Toole place third. You have a couple of fifth-place finishers. Overall, it was a success, and overall, it shows where the program is when you are disappointed with seventh in the country.
Yeah, you know, I think Coach Smith had a really good talk with the team on, I can't remember if it was Friday night or Saturday morning, but just, you know, obviously our team's goal, our staff's goal was not to get seventh place, you know, as you said, but Coach Smith did a great job, you know, of stating to the team, you know, this just means we're on the right track. You know, it's not a one-year deal, but you know, everybody in this staff, this team, this program, you know, is 100% confident that this team is going to bring home a national title. I mean, we all believe that 100%, and, you know, it's going to happen sometime in the next 4 years.
Did the next year start, like, when you guys got back? Or do you give them some time off, especially considering how wild this season was?
Yeah, you know, it kind of depends on the guys. Like I said, as soon as we got back, the last chance Olympic qualifier was in Dallas, Texas, and we sent Josh Edmond and Zach Elam down there. They had some really tough ways. They both won a couple matches, but they didn't end up placing qualifying. So they were right back competing, even though Josh didn't compete at Nationals, obviously, but yeah, for the most part, after everybody kind of got back from Olympic team trials, you know, it's next year now. We've kind of started working toward that, and I know the guys have been lifting and stuff with Coach Kutchlow, and they're working toward next year right now.
Going back to Nationals, the first day was tough, but as you went through everything, you got some bonus points here and there. Let's first talk about the freshman, Keegan O'Toole, who was the highest finisher, 165. He finished third. He lost a match that, boy, oh, boy. I mean, it could have gone either way, and it's his only loss of the season.
Yeah, you know, and in that match, you know, in the quarterfinals against the Winslow kid from Pitt, it was really back and forth, you know, and, you know, hats off to that kid because he stayed in it and, you know, he really had to battle hard because Keegan was going 100 miles an hour, you know, the full 7 minutes. And, you know, the scoring sequence, you know, that ended up costing Keegan the match, it could have went either way, and obviously it didn't go our way, and we lost that one. But Keegan's definitely learned from it. He handled it probably better than anyone could have handled it. You know, he came right off the mat and, you know, wasn't down on himself. He's just like, man, like, you know, I should have done this when I did that, and you know he learned from it immediately.
Sure,
and man, that's that's a lot asking out of a true freshman.
Another true freshman, Rocky Elam at 197, upset in the first round, and then pretty much doesn't lose again. I mean, he was awesome after the first round.
Yeah, I mean his backside run, it was like, oh my god. I mean, you obviously, Coach Smith would never really do this, but, you know, I'm not a coach, so I'm going to do it. And being a wrestler, I can't help it. And I never talk to any of the guys about it, but I look at the bracket and I'm like, damn, this guy's got to wrestle. You know, he's got one match, and then he's got the West Virginia kid who was undefeated all last year. He was number one at the beginning of this year. We've got to beat him. And then immediately after that, we've got the Schultz kid from Nebraska that spent some time as the number one wrestler in the country this year, was second at Big Tens, was the number two seed coming into the national tournament. So we got those two back-to-back. I'm like, man, this dude's got a tough road to, you know, place. And, man, he showed up after he dropped that first one. And I think he wrestled the Drexel kid and got close to, if he didn't, major that kid. And then wrestled a really great match against the Adams kid in West Virginia. Won that pretty, you know, dominantly. It was close, but, you know, Rocky controlled the whole match. And then, man, wrestled the Schultz kid from Nebraska. He really tore that kid up, and that kid was completely frustrated in that match. And from there, Rocky just kept rolling. Ended up beating the Norfleet kid from Arizona State in the bubble round, who, you know, was top-ranked kid all year. I think he was the 3 seed, so he beat the 2 seed. I don't know what the West Virginia kid was. He might have been the 7 seed, and then he beat the 3 seed, you know, just to get into place. And then I can't remember who he beat after that, and then he ended up beating or losing to the Amin kid from Michigan, who was the number 1 seed. And
yeah,
just a barn burner of a match. I mean, Rocky was bleeding all over the place, and Amin had his whole eye swolled shut. I mean, it was a great match, and we came up on the short end of the stick on that one. But then got revenge against the Oklahoma kid for 5th and 6th, so that was really good for Rocky, and he ended up crushing that kid that time around.
With this being a 0 year, I would imagine, I don't think you're going to lose anybody out of the starting lineup, and even in the depth, you're not going to lose anybody.
No.
And so that's why when we say next year begins now, the future is really bright for this team.
Yeah, I mean, we've been saying it all year. I mean, we have the same team for the next, you know, 2 years, you know. Still going to have, you know, it's probably in between Certain and Connor Brown when he gets healthy again for 25. But then, you know, it's probably going to be, you know, Schmidt, Hart, Edmund, Mahler. You know, that'll kind of sort itself out in 41, 49 there. And then, you know, Jarrett, Keegan, Mako, Kent, Elam, and they're all back. So it's the same team, and, you know, they all know what they need to work on. I know the coaches have kind of been talking to them about that, but they all know what they need to work on to, you know, get on the podium next year. And, you know, we just had our big staff meeting yesterday. We always have at the end of the year. And, you know, the talk was, you know, how do we get from 7th to getting on the podium or winning a national title as a team? And, you know, we're all working on that right now.
What do you do now that you've had that meeting? You look towards next year, but here we are, early April. What does April and May bring? Does it bring a lot of studies and everybody making sure they do the right thing in the classroom? Is that what is on tap?
Yeah, you know, this team is probably the best I've ever been around. I mean, they got their highest GPA last fall, so that tells you it's the smartest team that Mizzou wrestling probably ever had. But, you know, they're always pretty involved with their studies, but, you know, it's definitely an emphasis, you know, to buckle down right now. But as far as, you know, the guys that are potential starters, you know, they're all watching film and trying to make corrections on, you know, techniques and what do I need to get better at? What's something I can focus on, you know, just to get even 1% better. And that's the kind of thing they're looking at right now. But for a lot of our guys, I mean, we're looking at freestyle right now, too. I mean, they just announced, I think today, that the U.S. Senior Nationals and the UWW Juniors, which is what Josh and Keegan won back in the fall, is going to be the end of this month. It's going to be the 30th, 1st, and 2nd of May. But, yes, we're going to be going up to Iowa for that. I think we're taking a pretty good team of young guys, and then I think Dom's going to wrestle in that, too. But we're still competing, so it's kind of a delicate balance.
Let's talk about Jaden Cox right now, former Mizzou wrestler, still wrestling. Tell people if they don't know. I'm sure they know, the people watching, but if they don't know, tell them what happened this weekend.
So there's definitely some controversy going on regarding Jaden and his weigh-in on Friday. As I understand the situation, Jaden made weight, but it was after the allotted time. I think they're supposed to weigh in by 9, and it sounds like it may have been a little bit after that. I don't know all the details. I only know, you know, rumors here and there from people that were there, and I saw a few articles online that were fairly detailed on it. He does have an arbitration hearing. Because since he didn't make weight in time, he was ruled. He couldn't wrestle.
Yeah, he was
out of the trials. Didn't have a chance to compete. And he was already sitting in the semifinals, so he had to win 2 matches, and then he was going to wrestle Snyder for the spot. So as it stands, he's out right now. He does have an arbitration case filed, which I think started today. So we'll see on that. There's a lot of factors that go into it. You know, I've heard on some accounts that he was told the wrong time for weigh-ins. He also has a hearing disability. He's almost deaf in one ear, so I know that's going to play a factor in his arbitration case. But, you know, we'll see. I hope he gets a shot at it. You know, I think he's definitely the best guy. I mean, no offense to Snyder, but I think he's the best guy at the weight for the country. So I hope he gets a chance, but I guess we'll see.
That can sort of adds something in to this year, doesn't it, with the Olympic trials? There's a lot more out there for guys to go after.
Yeah, you know, and it's fortunate, but it's also unfortunate, you know, that they have it so close to the NCAA tournament like that. Man, I want to say in the past, it used to be almost like a month after or so. And it's fortunate for the guys like Gable Steveson, you saw at heavyweight, who, you know, rolled through NCAAs and just kind of kept that momentum going. And he looked great at the Olympic trials and ended up winning it. But then you have guys like, you know, Spencer Lee, who, you know, was banged up after nationals, couldn't go compete. So it has its pros and cons, but, I mean, it's a lot of good wrestling if you're a spectator.
Yep.
3 straight weekends of good wrestling to watch.
Let's go back to nationals. Iowa, you saw them up close. They were the real deal, weren't they?
You know, they're good. You know, and everybody knew that they were good going into that. And they had a lot of really tough guys. And they did a good job, you know, throughout the season. They have some older guys who are banged up, and they did a good job resting those guys throughout the season. And I think, too, it kind of played a factor is they had a lot of high seeds. And if it was a whole year of wrestling, I don't know that all their guys would have been seeded that high. So that definitely helped them out a bit. I mean, they still had, I don't know how many All-Americans they had, but they still probably would have had that many. But I don't know if they would have beat Penn State if it had been a whole year. They might have got them. So I think that definitely helped them out, having those guys at the higher seeds.
And Penn State, wow, what a championship round they had. That was unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, they kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But really, the team who had the tournament was Oklahoma State. I mean, if you'd have told me that, I would have told you there's no way. No way that they get a trophy. Yeah, they had a horseshoe all week.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a guy, their 57-pounder, Wyatt Sheets. He got into the tournament on Tuesday or Wednesday because the SIUE wrestler, Ruffin, injured his elbow at Max and couldn't compete. So he got into the tournament. He was not in. He got in on Tuesday or Wednesday, shows up. I think he lost his first round, and then it's coming through the backside and ended up getting a medical forfeit to get into in the blood round to get to place. He got a medical forfeit, so that's like, and he had a torn ACL. So it was just like crazy. And then they had another guy, I think they're 84 pounder, same case, got into the blood round and had a medical forfeit. It's just craziness. So it was their 65 pounder, sorry. Mekhi Lewis, he defaulted out.
Yep.
And so he had a bye, you know, into the All-American round. So they had a couple of those happen, and then their heavyweight, you know, we're killing their heavyweight in the round before the blood round, and he hits us with a lat drop and pins us. We were up, I think, 6 or 7 to nothing. So, yeah, man, they had a great tournament. I don't know if they wrestled that tournament 10 more times if they would have had, you know, that result.
And that's what it takes. I mean, you gotta have some horseshoes, and they got unbelievable call in overtime with the 7 seconds and redoing the 7 seconds. I mean, that kid should have lost.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. That was really horrible. Horrible. And Llewellyn ended up going on and taking fourth place, so that was really crazy. Yeah, couldn't believe that one.
Yeah. So, as for Mizzou, again, seventh in the country. Keegan O'Toole takes third, and that's something to me that all those guys next year look at it and say, okay, I got to do this and this and this to get on the podium. Not only as a team, but individually. And it gives them something to shoot for. And they know that even when they're wrestling what we hope is a regular schedule next year, they got to do the things even when they're wrestling a team that maybe isn't as good as them. But to work on things, to just keep in mind, okay, remember this happened at Nationals. I got to be ready for this, and I want to work on this.
Yeah, you know, and like I said, that's what we're working on right now. They all know their areas they need to work on, and they're all working with coaches and working with their training partners on getting better in those areas. But the good thing about our team is, you know, we have a really smart team. You know, they really are good about, you know, following game plans, like tactical approaches to matches, and so they're only going to get better. And it's a really young team, so they got a lot of experience this year, and you know they're going to be light years ahead next year.
Well, what else do we need to talk about? What else do you need to tell us?
We got Big Dom competed at Olympic Trials this past weekend. He was the 4 seed going in, wins his first match against Tony Nelson from Minnesota. Those two have wrestled no less than probably a dozen times since college, and even in college they wrestled a bunch. But he ends up beating him first round and has to wrestle Gwizdowski in the semis, who Gwizdowski's had the spot, you know, for the last 4 or 5 years at least. It was a close match. You know, he ended up losing 6-0, but really there was one scoring sequence in there where they kind of both shot at the same time, and Dom ended up kind of getting in the power position with the leg, and, you know, we needed to score there, and Gwizdowski he was able to score defensively there, and that was kind of the match. If we had scored, we would definitely would have won that. So we lose that one. We came back, and we had to wrestle the Mason Paris kid from Michigan, who I believe he got second to Gable at Nationals. And, man, just really, you know, freestyle is pretty well known for their, you know, bad officiating and rules. But, Dom was on the, you know, bad end of the stick on a really bad call, series of calls. The referees, you know, awarded Dom a point with short time left, which was, you know, it was the correct call. After they awarded the point, the referee blows the whistle, and then, you know, freestyle, you step out, it's a point. So the referee blows the whistle because the action is stopped, and then Dom steps out of bounds, and the referees want to look at the action and make sure they're getting it right, and they reverse it from Dom getting a point to the other guy gets a point because Dom stepped out after the whistle. And just really, you know, a bad situation, bad officiating. I mean, I think Dom ended up saying that they couldn't review it, or they could review it, but they couldn't hear the whistle in the video, which is why they, you know,
couldn't change it.
So, yeah, it's just ridiculous. I mean, at that level. I mean, because that guy goes on and gets third place, and you know that's huge. You get to go to Tokyo. You're part of the Olympic team, part of the national team. You're in third place, and you know, with USA Wrestling, you know, third place, the top three guys get a check for the next year. So I mean, that's huge, and that just really, it's unfortunate they couldn't get that right.
Yeah.
But Dom handled it the right way. You know, he's back up here. He's been working out. He was lifting. I heard him. I walked into the Hearns this morning. He was up there lifting and screaming like a madman. I don't know what he was doing, but I think he's going, like I said, to the senior nationals at the end of this month. So he's looking forward to it. They're still having a – even though the Olympics are going to be in August, September, they still have a world championships, like, after that.
Wow.
So he's planning on, you know, making that team. So he's doing all the right things right now.
Well, that's good. And we mentioned what the guys are doing now. What are the coaches doing now?
Recruiting, focusing on, you know, trying to get the next group of great Tigers in here. You know, working on trying to get some camps set up for the summertime. And then just trying to get these guys ready for next year and kind of evaluating what they need to work on.
You know, the good news, too, is as we've seen with football looks like it's going to be pretty normal next year. I would imagine by the time wrestling season rolls around late in 2021, people are going to be, not that they couldn't come back before, but we should have more fans able to come and watch.
Yeah, I mean, from what I've heard, it's going to be more toward full capacity, if not full capacity, and that may change, but that's the talks right now that I'm hearing anyway. So that's good. We don't have our schedule finalized yet, but I can tell you it's going to be a really good schedule for a fan, a spectator coming to check these out. It's going to be a really, really fun year. Can't wait to have the crowd back in here roaring in the Hearns. And, you know, we're going to be winning a lot of matches, so it's going to be a good team to get behind and, you know, pack the stands in here.
Yeah, no doubt. It'll be interesting, too, to see if we feel like the season is lasting forever after we had this, you know, 10-week sprint practically this year. Next year, if we have regular, we'll be like, man, are Nationals ever coming?
Yeah, you know, and I've heard some talks and some proposals of trying to go to a one semester or even like a December to March, so just a little bit longer than this year. So we'll see what they actually do. I think one semester sport's the right move. It's going to be difficult to do because they have, like, Nationals is already, like, set at these venues. So we'll see what they can do there. Hopefully, I think it would benefit the sport to go to one semester, but we'll see what they do. Even December through March, I think, would be nice. You know, just a month longer than it was this year. I mean, that seemed pretty, you know, adequate. It's going to help everybody's budgets, and, you know, it just cuts down on injuries, I think, too.
Well, and the other part is they finish finals, let's say, around the 15th of December anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as we talked about, usually when you're out for break, I mean, if they can worry just about wrestling for that month, I mean, start the season then, that'd be just fine.
Yeah, you know, it would be nice if it started in December, and, you know, like you said, finals are always around the 15th. If you can get a dual meet or two in before that, that'd be cool, and then, you know, just go full out after that. Because, yeah, like you said, I mean, they have from usually the mid part of December until, you know, Martin Luther King Day is when we start back up. So, I mean, that's a good portion of the season that they're only focused on wrestling. So I think that would benefit the sport a lot, but we'll see what they do.
Everybody's learning as we go.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of, you know, we'll kind of wrap up after this, but, you know, all the years of going to the National Coaches Convention, you know, Coach Smith always gets broken about it because the one semester sport's been a talk forever, but, you know, they would never, ever, you know, try it out, but it was interesting because COVID made us try it out.
Yep.
And I think it has a lot of benefits to the sport, but we'll see what they end up doing.
We'll see. When you get a bunch of coaches together, you're still going to have some that are like, no, we got to keep it the way it is.
Yeah, and you know, it's really funny with wrestling. You know, it's different than how you should do it. You know, they never seem to do it how you should do things. You could have 99 coaches for one thing, and if the right one coach is against it, then
it's still going against.
Yeah, it's still going to. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand that.
Yep. But yeah, so we're going to start trying to kick the podcast back off, you know, weekly, get back to the swing of things. You know, it was kind of a weird couple weeks with being gone at Nationals, and then it was spring break, and then last week was just kind of catching up. But I'm going to start trying to go once a week again. We'll try to pull some of the guys in here and, you know, get some interviews out of them, make them talk. I know they like that.
See what they're up to.
Oh, yeah. So, awesome. Well, thank you, Bo.
You betcha.
Thanks for coming back in here, joining us. So, until next time, stay ready. This is Tiger Style.
This has been Inside Mizzou Athletics on the Tiger Network. Brought to you by Shelter Insurance. Find an agent for your auto, home, and life at shelterinsurance.com. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.